since April of 1985. This is the DX Audio Service. National Radio
Club. Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for November 2010. This is issue number 308. If you'd like to write to us at the DX Audio Service, our new address is the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, Post Office Box 473251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251. Email is sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. Please change your records for the DX Audio Service to this new address as we're trying to distance ourselves from the mail problems here in Lima. A yearly cassette subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S.-Canadian members is $28. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe or renew, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to the website www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using the PayPal credit card system. But again, our new mail address is the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, Post Office Box 473251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251. Or you can sign up on the internet using EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system. You must be able to download and navigate a website to use this service. Well, we've just navigated back from Boise, Idaho. And I'll tell you what, I am Bush, so I'm going to sit back and listen to Bill and Mark with Side 1 of the DX Audio Service.
This is the AM Switch.
AM Switch for the DX Audio Service for November 2010. The FCC and CRTC has been sleeping at the switch the past month. We don't have a lot of items for you, but we'll pass along what we do have. First of all, call letter changes. 570 WTNT Bethesda, Maryland has given up the call for WSPZ. That call, however, has been taken by an area station in Alexandria, Virginia. On 730, the WXTR is now WTNT. 980 WSUB Groton, Connecticut, they're now WXLM. On 1060, WBIX Natick, Massachusetts, they've taken the call of WQOM. 1170 WQVA Lexington, South Carolina, they're now known as WDEK. On 1230, the former WGUY in Newport, Maine, they're now WDME, and that WGUY call was taken up by a new station in Ellsworth, Maine. However, on 1240, that station hasn't even been built yet, so it'll be quite a while probably before you'll hear those calls. On 1340, KEBC Midwest City, Oklahoma, they're now known as KGHM. On 1400, KEZL, Visalia, California, they're now known as KRZR. 1420, WLET, Toccoa, Georgia, they now go by the call of WVNG. 1500, KUMU, Honolulu, Hawaii, change their call in your logbook to KHKA. And finally, 1670, WFSM, Dry Branch, Georgia, you'll now hear them ID as WPLA. Before we go on, as we do occasionally, we'll pass along right now a few of the antenna designations that we regularly hear in AM Switch. When you hear D1, that means it's a daytime station using a non-directional pattern. D3 means daytime only, utilizing a directional pattern. U1 means 24-hour operation, non-directional. U2 stands for 24-hour operation using a directional pattern at night. U3, that's a 24-hour operation using the same pattern all hours. And U4, that's a 24-hour operation using two different patterns, day and night. If we run across any others, we'll pause to explain those. Also, we sometimes hear the abbreviation STA. That means Special Temporary Authorization. In these instances, a station is given permission to operate with facilities other than what they are licensed for. because the station loses either the lease on the land on which their transmitter is located, a fire, or due to other circumstances for which we'll stop and explain the reason. Well, that get out of the way, let's get started. Our first category, stations on the air with changed facilities. 820 WGGM in Chester, Virginia. They're operating under an STA. Remember what that means? Special Temporary Authority. That's right. 2,500 watts during the day, 250 watts at night, U1, due to, and we quote the application, second theft of copper ground straps associated with the station's ground system. 1170 KOWZ, Waseca, Minnesota. They're licensed for U7, 2,500 watts during the day, 5 watts at night, and 1,000 watts during critical hours. That U7 means they use three different patterns. KWOZ is operating under an STA with 60 watts, non-directional, due to a flooding caused by mid-September heavy rainfall in that area. Also affected are two co-owned FM stations. 1290 WCHK, Canton, Georgia. They're now on the air with U2, 10,000 watts daytime, 500 watts at night. They've got a power increase during the day. 1360 KDJW, Amarillo, Texas. They're now on with 6,000 watts days, 320 watts at night, U4. The new day pattern throws a large lobe to the west-northwest with a small lobes to the east and southeast off the back. The new night pattern shoots a slender lobe to the southwest with small lobes to the northwest, east-northeast, and southeast. 1430 WCWC, Williamsburg, Kentucky. They've been granted U1, 5,700 watts during the day, 32 watts at night after moving from 1440. Now, we saw a notice that WCWC had gone silent, but that may have been part of the process of changing frequencies along with the power increase. And 1560 KGOW, Bel Air, Texas. They're now on with 50,000 watts during the day, 15,000 watts at night, U4, from two different transmitter sites. The day pattern uses six towers throwing a long slender lobe to the northeast, while the night signal emanates from nine towers in a long slender pattern to the south-southeast. Turning our attention now to actions taken by both the FCC and the CRTC, 690 WIST, New Orleans, Louisiana, licensed for U4, 10,000 watts days, 5,000 watts at night. WIST has filed several applications and amendments for changes since 2007. Confusing as it is, sifting through all the FCC jargon, this is what we've been able to figure out. They have been granted U2, 9,100 watts days, 5,000 watts at night after a new self-supporting tower is built to replace the southernmost structure on their four-tower north-south inline array. Still on the books is an application applied for U4, 10,000 watts days, and 2,100 watts at night. 930 CJYQ, St. John's, Newfoundland. A CP is granted for 25,000 watts during the day, 3,500 watts at night, U5. Now that means they're directional during the daylight hours only. They've decreased their nighttime power while going non-directional, and they've relocated the transmitter site. They stated that the current transmitter site they use for nighttime was so deteriorated by the weather that they just couldn't continue with it the way it was. 1010 WGUN, Atlanta, Georgia. CP has been granted for 50,000 watts during the day, 78 watts at night, and 45,000 watts during critical hours. That increases the critical hour's power. 1220 CJUL in Cornwall, Ontario. The CRTC, in response from the request from the owner, which is Chorus Radio Company, has revoked the license of CJUL. This makes two 1220s in Canada, the other being CHSC in St. Catharines, that have signed off in the past couple of weeks. Could this mean WHKW Cleveland could open up its night pattern nulls toward those two cities? Time will only tell. 1230 CFXG Grand Cache, Alberta. A CUP has been granted to move to 93.3 megahertz with 190 watts at minus 81.7 meters. The new station must be built and on the air within 24 months, and once built, will relay CFXE-FM 94.3 in Edson, Alberta. The AM will then sign off 90 days after the 94.3 facility begins regular programming. 1300 WJMO Cleveland, Ohio, licensed for U3, 5,000 watts day and night. WJMO is operating under an STA with 1,200 watts day and night non-directional. They cite theft of and vandalism to their ground system for this change in facilities. 1350 KDZA Pueblo, Colorado. A CP has been granted for 1,300 watts days, 150 watts at night, all non-directional, which is U1, relocating to the number one tower of co-owned KCSJ 590 in Pueblo. Since the KCSJ tower is twice as tall as the ones formerly used, KDZA is forced to reduce both day and night power levels. Along with lower power at night, now they can operate non-directional. 1400 CKGR Golden, British Columbia. A CP has been granted to move to 106.3 megahertz with 890 watts at a minus 337 meters. Once the FM station has begun its regular schedule, 1400 AM has 90 days of life remaining. And 1430 KZQZ St. Louis, Missouri. They've been granted a construction permit for 50,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, U4, increasing the daytime power. The new day pattern is kidney-shaped with the major lobes headed northeast and southwest and a major null to the southeast. Two new stations have been granted, 1430 North Las Vegas, Nevada. They've been granted 5,000 watts during the day, 370 watts at night, U4. And on 1490, a new station in Alpine, Texas, they've been granted U1, 1,000 watts daytime, 950 watts during the night. A few AM on FM facilities to report this month, 550 WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. They can be heard on full power WDUN FM 102.9 in Clarksville. On 810 WGY Albany, New York, they're on WHRL, which I understand now they've changed the calls to WGY FM. They're 103.1 in Albany. In Panama City Beach, Florida, on 1290 WPCF, they can be heard on translator stations W225 AG 92.9 and W227 CE 93.3, both licensed to Panama City. On 1310 KTCK Dallas, Texas, they can be heard on KTLK 98.1 in Anson. 1370 WVMR Frost, West Virginia, they can be heard on WVMR 91.9 in Hillsboro, West Virginia. 1400 KQMS Redding, California, they're simulcast on KQMS FM 99.3 in Shasta Lake City. And finally, on 1490 KSPE Santa Barbara, California, they're on full power KFYZ 94.5 in Elwood. Our next category, dismissals and deletions. On 1120 WPRX Bristol, Connecticut, license canceled, call deleted. 1210 KPRZ San Marcos, Poway, California, they had a CP for 20,000 watts days, 30,000 watts at night, U4, that's been deleted. They remain 20,000 daytime watts, 10,000 watts at night, still U4. Two stations in Alaska, both in Kotzebue, one on 1230, one on 1260. Applications for those new stations have both been dismissed. On 1280, KRZE, Farmington, New Mexico, license canceled, call deleted. Apparently, the license expired on October 1st, 2005. Can you imagine 5 years ago? And the FCC claims they have no record of them receiving an application for renewal. 1320 WJAS, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, licensed for U2, 5,000 watts day and night. WJAS had a construction permit for 5,000 watts during the day, 3,300 watts at night, U2. They then applied for U2, 7,000 watts days, 3,300 watts at night. Now the CP has been canceled, leaving them with the application for that 7,000 watts days, 3,300 watts at night, U2. 1370 WHYP, Corey, Pennsylvania. License canceled, call deleted. No similar correspondence as the one we saw in the Farmington, New Mexico deletion. We couldn't find anything like that in the WHYP file, so they're just done. 1470 WMGG, Egypt Lake, Florida, licensed for U1, 5,000 watts days, 500 watts at night, U1 at Dunedin. WMGG had a CP to move to Egypt Lake with U4, 3,600 days, 800 watts at night. They subsequently applied for U2, 750 watts days, 800 watts at night. That has been dismissed. 1560, Greenville, Georgia, an application for a new station has been dismissed. And 1580, KWED, Seguin, Texas, they applied for U2, 1,000 watts day and night. That has been dismissed, leaving them with the U1, 1,000 watts days, 240 watts during the night. Stations which had been off, but now back on the air, WDRD 680, Newburgh, Kentucky, returns with sports, and they've got ESPN Sports. KOAN 1020, Eagle River, Alaska, they were heard with news talk, but in most likelihood just back on to avert a license revocation as they are on a silent STA. WHUN 1190 in Humboldt, Tennessee is back on the air with Southern Gospel, and they ID as Joy Christian Radio. KGVL Greenville, Texas on 1400 returns with Oldies as 14GVL, and they're no longer their FM station. WWCL 1440 Lehigh Acres, Florida returns with Spanish Religious, and they're known as Radio Vision Christiana. Simulcasting WWRV 1330 in New York via satellite. WVNA 1590 Tuscumbia, Alabama returns with News Talk. And WGIT 1660 Cano, Venice, Puerto Rico, they're back on with Tropical, simulcasting WEKO 1580. And a trio of stations in the desert of western Arizona have returned to the air after a fire destroyed their combined studios earlier this summer. Those stations are KFLG 1000 Bullhead City, KAAA 1230 in Kingman, and KZZZ 1490 in Bullhead City. Stations reported as silent: WQOM 1060 Natick, Massachusetts, WBGC 1240 Chipley, Florida, WTRI 1520 Brunswick, Maryland. They filed for a silent STA, meaning they intend to be off for quite a while. Also, CFGT 1220 Alma, Quebec. They've signed off, moving to 104.5 megahertz. After the sign-off, AM programming consisted only as from a repeated message in French saying goodbye to their AM audience and to meet them over on FM dial. One news item to report this month: WDDZ 550 Pawtucket, Rhode Island, WBWL 600 Jacksonville, Florida, WDRD 680 Newburgh, Kentucky, and WDZK 1550 Bloomfield, Connecticut, all Radio Disney affiliates are up for sale. All were silent at the time of our deadline here, with the exception of WDRD, which has switched to ESPN Sports. Disney has and will continue to sell stations in markets which are non-performers. It was reported that these stations have less than a 0.1 rating with the mouse, and that's pretty darn low. Fines to report? Well, actually, first of all, with a non-fine, a $1,500 fine against WCMX 1000, Leominster, Massachusetts, has been canceled. A $7,000 fine levied against WYTH, Madison, Georgia, that's been canceled. And a fine of $7,000 levied against WAMF 1300, Fulton, New York, has been canceled. However, KAPL 1300, Phoenix, Oregon, has been fined $5,600 for failing to file their renewal application in a timely manner and subsequent unauthorized operation. And WLBK 1360, DeKalb, Illinois, has been fined $10,000 for willful violations presented in their renewal application. Well, that's going to do it for this month. Thanks to Sean Axelrod, Dean McIntyre, Wayne Heinen, Andy Reed of WRTH, Dave Schmidt, NorthwestBroadcasters.com, RadioInfo.com, UpperMidwestBroadcasting.coms for some of the items you've heard this month. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.
And now here's Mark with the Bandscan.
Well, hi, loyal listeners. We're back with the second half of our electronic Bandscan from South Dakota in this case. In fact, we're going to be hearing every station in South Dakota by the time we get through with this. And we'll do it all from two stops using our new fine-tuned flagpole antenna and Perseus radio that records the entire band at once.
National Radio Club.
Last month, you'll recall, we described how all of this was lashed together and how during playback of the recording, we could loop the same moments in time over and over again. That made it a simple matter of slowly tuning up the dial during those few seconds when most stations are proudly announcing their call letters at the top of the hour. Oh, and there were a couple of occasions where we heard a nice mix. So we used a loop antenna to distinguish between two or more stations on the same frequency. When that happens, you'll hear us precede the occasion by this tone. That's your signal that we're going to hear two or more stations from the same frequency. We're in Clark, South Dakota, just west of Aberdeen, and we pick up where we left off last time at 1170. And then slowly move up the dial.
Sports and the best talk radio around. News Talk 1170. KOWZ AM, Waseca, Owatonna.
Latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
Hermine is moving across parts of South Texas. Thank you for your support of Catholic Radio on AM 1180 KS.
Relevant radio news. Tropical storm Hermine.
Pat Straight from Clark. You listen to 1180 KPOG Jackson Service.
Faith to life. Faith 1200. KFNW AM West Fargo. Fargo-Moorhead. A ministry of Northwestern College.
Faith 1200 KFNW News is made possible by Big Tractor Parts in Rolog, Minnesota.
Crude oil is down 98 cents at $73.62. Rusty Halverson, American Ag Network.
KOKK Huron.
From ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston.
Can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the North Dakota National Guard. Aired by the North Dakota Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Dakota Country Radio, 1220 KBBR Oaks.
I'm Sherry Preston, a new
Oh, now, baby, please. 1159 here on Radio 1230 KMRS with a little Ray Charles and Hit the Road, Jack. Right now we got 55 degrees, mostly cloudy skies at the studios here in Morris.
Increasing clouds with a high of 68 and a chance of a couple of showers around by tomorrow night into Saturday, and then much cooler. Saturday's high just 62. From the Storm Center at Kettleland TV, I'm Brian Carston.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekday mornings at 8 on Sioux Falls Sports Radio, 1230 KWSN.
Broadcasting from the StubHub Studios.
StubHub!
This is the Dan Patrick Show. Call in at 877-3DP-SHOW.
Maybe you'll believe me when I'm finally through.
On broadcasting, C.R. Pierce.
That has to be the shortest ID. You notice, too, that, that we're not just doing South Dakota here. You're hearing stations well into Minnesota and North Dakota and maybe even Iowa and Nebraska.
Made in Minnesota. Good Neighbor Radio, 1250 KBRF AM, Fergus Falls.
Lakes Radio First News, I'm Greg Brady. Students at a Minnesota city hit hard by a tornado in June are heading back to temporary classes today.
This is Country 1260, KWIR AM 1260, Winter, South Dakota. We are local AM radio for South Dakota and Nebraska.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
You're listening to Faith 1270, KNWC Sioux Falls.
a ministry of Northwestern College, St. Paul.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley, new tax.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here, pondering the mystery of why certain softball games go into extra innings and why others don't.
AM 1280, KVXR, Moorhead, Fargo.
At 4-H.org.
Thanks for listening, Benson, Clontarf, DeGraff, and Danvers, to America's best music on KBMO 1290 AM Benson.
Keeping the Dakotas informed and entertained 24 hours a day. AM 1300 KOLY Mobridge, a member of the Dakota Radio Group.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, a new... Marketing.
Because news never stops. News right here, right now. KELO AM. News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls. A backyard broadcasting station.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Brady. Some color.
KIJB, 1340 AM, Huron, Good Time Oldies.
CNN Radio, I'm Shelby Lynn. Our top story.
Some dealers as we make our way up to 12 noon. You're in tune to 1350 KDIO, Ortonville, Minnesota. It is 12 o'clock. Here's a look at news with ABC.
Now, I'm Daria Albinger, a mayor's group of...
The polls of their Bibles.
Your source for local news and information. And Impact with Sam Clovis. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11. This is KSDJ, Sioux City. Listen up, all you great cooks out there.
Or wants to know more about the Catholic faith, to listen to Real Presence Radio.
AM 1370, KWTL, Grand Forks.
Supported entirely through listener contributions, this is Family Radio.
Broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ. This is KQKD Redfield.
Hi, you've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call.
1390 KJAM, Madison. CBS News, I'm Steve Caden.
It's 12 noon.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Deborah.
ESPN. ESPN.
Sports Radio 1420. KGIM Aberdeen.
Hub City Radio Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center. Sports Radio.
AM 1430 is KBRK Brookings. It's 12 noon and time for news.
Shelby Lynn, our top story this hour, the pastor of a Florida...
Doing it. Doug McIntyre's Red Eye Radio, midnight to 4 a.m., 7 days a week, only on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, a new...
Matters to you, it matters to us.
1450 KYMT.
We're your home team for local information.
AM 1450 KYMT Yankton.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick.
Your news, weather, and sports leader. 1460 KDMA, Montevideo, Minnesota.
Excuse me, vary state to state.
The best in talk radio is found right here on the Talk of Watertown, 1480 KSDR Watertown.
From ABC News,
I'm Sherry Preston, a new lawyer
for gun in sports.
It's ESPN's Game Night. Heard weeknights from 9 until midnight on the Talk of the Town. AM 1490 KRN Mitchell.
Latest from ABC News.
Over the next 60 minutes, as you're listening to 1510 KMSD, Milbank, South Dakota, USA, and Armada Media Station, it's high noon.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, a new...
Supported entirely through listener contributions, this is Family Radio.
We're glad you're listening to KKAA Aberdeen, your place for Christian music and Bible teaching 24 hours a day.
Hi, you've reached the Johnson.
Below 56. Saturday, a slight chance of showers, the high 62. The ticket is online at kvtk.com and also on Facebook.
Hi, this is Mike Greenberg with Mike and Mike. Weekdays from 5 to 9 a.m. on 1570 The Ticket, KVTK, Vermilion Yankton.
Radio Sports Center.
Good morning, I'm Bob Picozzi. They were shut out two nights ago, and they didn't score a run in the first six innings last night.
You're listening to Rush Limbaugh live on 1590 KDJS Wilmer, your home for solid gold.
With a look at news, I'm Al Sheldon, the Minnesota State Department.
And there you are, the band from Eastern South Dakota. When next we report on this project, we'll be in Faith, South Dakota, approaching the Badlands, and when we finish, you'll have heard every station in the state recorded from just those two locations. We'll move on to Wyoming and eventually work our way back through Colorado and Nebraska. And hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, we'll be able to take our collapsible flagpole antenna to the east and start recording state by state. It's an ambitious project. I hope to live long enough. Mark Dernberger reporting from this corner of the DX Audio Service. We'll return in 30 days with more Bandscan fun. And meanwhile, we'd encourage your comments on this reporting format for the Bandscan. Is it useful for you, or is it confusing when we climb up the dial using this looping technique so you hear one station after another? Or is it easier for you when we separately call out each catch, as we have in the past? Please let us know on the musings line. And until we meet again, good listening, DXers.
National Radio Club.
Pirate Radio, a revolt that just won't die, even with a $30,000 fine, by Matthew Lazar. All right, people, the DJ from Death's Hits Radio proclaims, we've got the Halloween party to talk about, the Thanksgiving joint coming up, some things in the entertainment industry that's going on. Plus, a shout-out to everybody in the Wellesley Pediatric Department. Rita, I love you. Until just a few days ago, Dat's Hits was broadcasting gospel and Caribbean music to Boston neighborhoods and to Dorchester, plus news and live discussions about local, cultural, and neighborhood events. Its 99.7 FM signal had a range of a few city blocks, or maybe a mile or two on good days. One of the staffers, with whom we briefly spoke, described the operation as a community radio station. But on October 1st, the Federal Communications Commission hit this local service with a proposed $30,000 fine. Dat's Hits, of course, is a pirate operation, which has no legal FCC license. Now it just streams over the Internet. Locating the source. The Commission's Enforcement Bureau got wise to Dat's Hits in an unusual way. About a year ago, a licensed broadcaster in the area complained about interference with its signal.
So the authorities drove out to the Mattapan area in one of their signal detection vans. Eyes peeled for that telltale homemade tower and coax line stringing out of a basement or attic, which they found. In the FCC's own words, the agents, using direction-finding techniques to locate the source of the signal on 99.7, found it at a two-story, multifamily dwelling at 61 Ormond Street in the Mattapan area of Boston. They observed an antenna mounted on the roof of the building with a coaxial cable leading to a basement window. The agents took a field strength measurement and determined that the broadcast signal exceeded the limits for operation under Part 15 of the FCC's rules and regulations, and therefore it required a license. A review of the commission's records revealed that there was no FCC authorization to operate a radio station on 99.7 in the Mattapan area of Boston. Next, the feds got out of their truck, walked over to the house, and knocked on the door. A resident greeted them and led them to the basement. There, the agents observed radio station equipment, which included an RF amplifier, an FM modulator with the front panel displaying 99.7, and a power supply. The government left a Notice of Unauthorized Operation, an NOUO, with the house, then met with the station's owner, Robert Brown and Lloyd Norris, warning them to shut the station down. This they did, well, at least for a day or two. When the FCC rechecked the situation, Dat's Hits was back up and running, hence the proposed $30,000 penalty. It's usually $10,000 for each owner, the Notice of Apparent Liability explains, but the Federal Communications Commission obviously thought these guys were special. We find an upward adjustment in the forfeiture amount is warranted because Brown and Norris operated an unlicensed radio station with full knowledge that such activity violated the Commission's Act and the rules. 8 and 10. A Dat's Hits spokesperson told us that the station has a lawyer and it will appeal the fine. We're not optimistic about the signal's legal chances, but even if the station stays off the air, it's just a matter of time before a new one pops up. When someone last counted, there were no less than 10 pirate stations in the Boston area and hundreds of more across the United States. Why do they bother? First, people love them. Run by volunteers, such stations tend to be more local and more accessible than licensed commercial stations. Read Sue Carpenter's engaging history of her pirate radio adventures in San Francisco and Los Angeles for some context. An unlicensed signal sometimes airs more local music in a day than legitimate commercial operations do in a year. Second, the Federal Communications Commission can't keep up with them. In fact, a new pirate operation just surfaced in my hometown. And as my two favorite pirate radio watchers, John Anderson and Paul Rismantle, point out, the worst that can happen to pirates in 48 states is fines and government seizures of equipment. And you can replace the latter at the cost of an old Honda Civic. The tougher states, complete with put-you-in-the-pokey laws, are Florida and New Jersey. Last year, those two and New York accounted for more than 70% of all enforcement actions. But those crackdowns had little deterrent effect on piracy, Anderson notes. You've still got better than an 8-to-10 chance of committing electronic civil disobedience and getting away with it with nothing more than a wag of a finger via certified mail, he concludes. No comparison. Third, for all the hoopla about streaming and mobile audio that will sweep old-school FM away, it just isn't happening. Here's the problem. Bandwidth costs money. Public Knowledge's John Bergmeier has a revealing interview with Ken Friedman, manager of Jersey City's WFMU-FM, that gets to the specifics. Quoting John, "Now, how much does bandwidth cost as opposed to keeping your different FM transmitters going?" Ken, "Oh, there is no comparison. It's so much more expensive to pay for bandwidth, you know. The costs of operating an FM station are minute compared to everything we spend for streaming. And we buy bandwidth in bulk. Now, we just buy huge, huge contracts of bandwidth. So we're only paying, I don't know, we're paying $5 or $10 a meg of throughput because we buy so much of it. Finally, there's the cost to the end users. Millions of Americans, especially the 14.3% who live below the poverty line, and those just above that dividing point, like DATS HITS audience in Dorchester and Mattapan, haven't gotten the scratch to get their radio streamed through smartphones. They're just going to keep listening to FM. It would be nice if the Senate would finally get around to passing a bill that would make it easier to open low-power FM stations. It's already gotten by the House, but even if the modest provisions in that law get to the president's desk, pirate radio is not going away. Most of these operations are funky, strange, and deservedly short-lived, but others are local and accessible, and not infrequently honor the FCC's public interest rules far more intently than the licensed commercial signals that they try to shut them down. And that story was Pirate Radio, A Revolt That Just Won't Die by Matthew Lazar. I received a rather sad message from Bill Dvorak, who is the son of Edward Dvorak, and Bill was the domestic DX Digest West editor in DX News, and he hosted several get-togethers in the Milwaukee area. He writes, "This message is to my radio friends who knew my dad, Edward Dvorak, if not in person, then by the number of times he came up in my conversation. Dad passed away on Wednesday, October the 13th, at hospice care in Fitchburg. He was 98 years old. He had an especially difficult time during the last 3 weeks. The people at hospice were wonderful in their caring for him. My son Charlie, Nina, and I were with him at the time of his passing. Dad was not a DXer, per se, but was a true radio enthusiast. He taught himself radio repair while he was in his 50s, and spent many a year afterwards fixing radios, especially CBs. He did it not for the money. He charged just for parts and a very small token for his labor, but for the challenge of solving problems and the satisfaction of helping others. His CB friends used to call him Mr. Ed. He was a wonderful dad, and he will be missed. 73s from Bill." From Wayne Heiden, who's the National Radio Club's chairman of the board of directors, he writes, "So far there's only one announced contestant other than the contest manager for this year's contest. Let's see some enthusiasm for the upcoming season and join in the competition for the WRTHs and the one-year extended membership. Also, I'd like to extend a great big thank you to Craig Christ for volunteering to take the webmaster of nrcdxas.org hat away from me. Craig will be assuming these duties and maintaining our public internet presence, in addition to his fine work maintaining and upgrading our interactive e-dxn.com website." And before we flip over to Site 2, I just want to make mention again that we are changing our address effective with this issue of the DX Audio Service. Our new address, and no, I've not moved, we're just changing the mailing address, is the National Radio Club's DXAS, Post Office Box 473251, Aurora, AURORA, Colorado, abbreviated CO, 80047-3251. We're doing that because of the mail problems that we've had here in Lima and delays with checks getting to us. So please, effective right now, send all your checks and payments and correspondence to that address and that address only. Also, just want to quickly remind you the tapes are not due till the 30th of the month, so please don't call us until that time. If you are missing your tape, send a letter to the post office box address and not an email or calling us. Sorry, we can't act on any phone calls whatsoever. And if you do get a bad tape for any reason, all you have to do is return it to us, and it will be replaced at absolutely no charge. But if you're one of those people that want to collect a bad tape and you don't want to send it back, well, just send us $4 and we'll send you a replacement. That's been our rules for a long time. The only thing we're changing is just the address where you send your checks and payments to. So please erase out the Lima address for now and send all your checks and payments to the Aurora, Colorado address. All right, let's flip over to side two.